Should I pray like David? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Key Life exists to communicate that the deepest message of Jesus in the Bible is the radical grace of God to sinners and sufferers. Life's hard for everyone, so grace is for all of us. But there is a lot of confusion about how grace applies to real life. So here's seminary professor and author Steve Brown and Pete Owenson to answer your questions.
Thank you, Matthew. Hello, Pete.
How you doing, man? Are you preaching this weekend or are you?
Tell you, this pandemic has really cut into my schedule.
Yeah.
I was talking to Buddy Green the other day, and his pastor was in an automobile accident and died. And he was going through tough time. But as some of you know, Buddy is a Nashville recording artist and travels with us pretty much, and a friend of years. But he said Nashville was a very dark place because of pandemic, because musicians and their gigs have been cut back. Their travel's been cut back.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been able to do concerts. And he said it's just now beginning to come back.
Mm. So,
same with me in terms of preaching, and I suspect your travel, too.
Yeah, right. No, I've got a couple coming up, but that's it. One's a wedding and one's a seminar, but it hadn't been much. You know?
Well, I went to the... you know, to the Billy Graham Center this summer.
That's right.
And I go up there. But, you know, I'm different than you. You like to travel and see the world and meet people. And I don't. I don't want to go to the drugstore. I just want people to leave me alone. That's Pete Owenson. And I've told you 1,000 times, so listen to me this time. Go to ForgeTruth.com. And you'll be amazed at the teaching that you'll find there. And if you are in Central Florida, and there's there are three different
yes, sir.
Three different men's meetings in different areas of the city, and you would rise up and call me blessed for telling you about it if you want to be a part of it. Go to ForgeTruth.com, check out the times and the places, and try it out. See what happens. You might be surprised. As you know, Pete comes in and we answer questions on Fridays. And we love to get your questions. And I really mean that. We take you and your questions seriously. You can pick up the phone, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, dial it anytime and record your question. And sometimes we put that on the air. You can write to Key Life Network, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, it's Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And if you can, help us financially and you'll get three free sins. Well, that's not good. If you don't, you'll get the fever and die. Both of those statements are manipulative, and I don't want them to be. If you can, pray about it. Help us. If you can't, say a prayer. Oh, and by the way, if you want to give, you can do it on your phone now. Text KEYLIFE at 28950. That's 28950, and follow the instructions. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and we'll get to these questions.
All right. Our great God, we come to you on this weekend and just are so thankful that we can come in prayer. And for just a second, we come into your presence, and we ask that you would continue the process of developing us as your children, but help us right now just to enjoy the fact that all week you have been large and in charge. You are God. There's no limit to who you are. You're loving, you're gracious, and we've seen so much of your powerful grace in our lives this week. We thank you for things that didn't come the way we wanted them to come into our lives. We thank you for how you turn bad to good, how you turn many situations into opportunities that we never imagined to spread your name. And so we thank you for who you are. But Lord, we have needs, and you know them. The bills that need to be paid, the relationships that need to be restored, the direction that we need to get in our life for decisions that have to be made. We seek your face. Open your word to us, Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on us and lead us even this weekend in worship, and be with our leaders who will bring us into your presence. And now we commit this time of Q&A to you and ask that you would be honored and glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. This is an email, Pete. This is a good question. I read a psalm daily, and during my devotions, it occurred to me just how open and genuine David was with God. But, and he or she puts in, but duh, David was way before the crucifixion and the resurrection. So how did David come to think that he could so freely go to the Father so boldly in prayer? I'm so grateful he did. The Psalms are a great source of comfort and make our own prayers easier by praying them back to the Father when we are in times of great emotion.
Yeah, that was great. That is a very great comment.
Oh, it really is.
How do you account for the fact that pre-Christ he had such a genuine, easy approach to God?
Because it's the same God and the same teaching. Believe it or not, nothing is taught in the New Testament that at least partially is not taught in the Older Testament. Mm-hmm. We have this dichotomy that there's the Old Testament with a mean God and the New Testament where there's this nice God. That's from the pit of hell.
That's right. It's just
not true. And, you know, you'd read something like Hosea 11 and the facets of God's love. You begin to see, or you look at the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, you begin to see the sacrifice, the understanding of sin, God's patience, his compassion, his forgiveness. And David knew he needed that and better more than most people.
Yeah.
Because he had enough power to do some really bad things. So he knew. And I think he had an intimate relationship with God. And it's the same intimate relationship that this person who wrote the email senses also when they go to Psalms.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're saying between the lines, you're saying that David probably had a more balanced Old Testament faith and relationship to God.
That's true.
Than we see commonly put forth. And you know, you think about him out in wilderness areas at night with the sheep alone and how he cultivated that. So
yeah.
In another sense, he not only knew who God was, but he cultivated that relationship with him. And where we can learn so much as this brother or sister brings up.
And he's called a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
And when you use the word heart in the scripture, you're not talking about mind. You're talking about something that's far deeper, more emotional, and more total than just the mind.
Yeah.
His heart was bent in the right direction, and he knew God not as the sovereign creator, ruler, and sustainer of everything. He, of course, knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew him as Father.
As a covenant.
Yeah.
As a covenant Father, a covenant God, yes.
So you might... No, you might say he knew Jesus. He didn't just know his name.
Right. And I love that. And he's a good model for us. Of course, he is also a type of Christ to come. And so he models.
That's right.
So much
I hadn't
for
thought
us.
About that. Right
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
that's true. Good question. I have a question about the prodigal son in Luke 15. When the prodigal returned to his father, all was given back to him, including a future inheritance. In Luke 15:31, the father tells the older son, "Everything I have is yours." Do you believe the younger son received an additional inheritance?
Well, you know, it seems to me when the father says, "Everything I have is yours," basically he's saying, "Hey, listen, you're here with me now, and you always have been. You didn't run away." And so everything I have, practically speaking, is yours. I mean, these cattle, this food, this land, everything. It's all ours. It's all yours now. Don't bemoan the fact that I'm being generous to your brother. That's kind of how I look at
no,
that.
No, you're right on. And, you know, the economy of God is counterintuitive,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
You know, the question kind of implies that if I were his father, you spin it, Buster, it's gone. Deal with it.
Right.
But that's not, I mean, the whole radical nature of the prodigal son is unbelievable.
It really is. It really, and it reminds me of the Pauline text that says, out of the riches of God's grace. In other words, in other words, God has never diminished as he is generous to us.
That's true.
And that as modeled in the Father.
That's so good. And it really is. And that story that Jesus taught was supposed to and was designed for just the kind of question that was asked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we look at it and we're puzzled. How could he do that? What is what? He doesn't have that much money. He can't just be free and easy with it. But that was the point that Jesus was making. And I don't know you about you, but I'm glad.
You know, Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God.
Yeah.
You know, how in a sense, how wasteful God is in giving his generosity is the idea, how generous he is.
So good. Listen, this is, we answer it a number of times so we can keep it fairly short, but can salvation be lost? If the Holy Spirit stops pursuing an unsaved person, can they still accept God's grace, or is it too late? Why is there such division between church and theologians on eternal security when it is arguably the most important aspect of the Bible?
Yeah, interesting, huh? Well, key doctrines cause that kind of conflict, but salvation cannot be lost. It's a gift. It's sealed in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in our view, we can't lose something that was given and sealed in us.
And those who are theologically minded, who would not accept what you just said, certainly do not think if you can lose your salvation that you can lose it easily.
Right.
You know, they think that others can lose their salvation, but they can't lose theirs. So they're close to the truth. They just need to come the whole way and say, absolutely, God does not get rid of his own, and he never does that.
That's right. I'm glad that he holds us and holds us very, very close.
All right. We have about 35 seconds. There's no way we're going to answer a question. You want to sing for us?
And, you know, and we basically made a decision that singing was out on this program. this is not an AM radio station in that respect, you know.
I would ask you to close in prayer, but I know you. You'll pray for the missionaries, and you'll go overtime.
I will go overtime. It's just not even possible. It's like ask a pastor to preach. He's going to go over.
Well, we filled that time adequately, and we're out of here. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.